7:56 a.m. South African time. It's a beautiful Friday morning here in Johannesburg. I want to welcome the listeners of Radio Al-Ansar International. I want to welcome the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And of course, today is the 26th of Safar. The 26th of Safar, 1444. I do apologize. I forgot the Quran, my beloved Fadilatul Honorable Ustad. Nevertheless, let's welcome our beloved Ustad early this Mubarak Friday morning. Ustad, welcome to the Q&A. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan to our technicians, Brother Junaid Khan and Brother Riyaz Hussain. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Rabbi shrahli swadri wa yassirli amri. وَحْلُلْ أُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Today is Yawm al-Jumu'ah, the blessed honorable day of Friday, the 26th of Safar 1444. And today we continue with Suratul Hajj, chapter number 22 and verses 74 right up to verse number 77. Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla informs us, مَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِ, that this human being and creation, human being and jinn, we are the creation who are mukallaf. We have been given the obligations and responsibility. They have not honored Almighty Allah Jalla Wala as He ought to be honored. We have not given the respect to Almighty Allah as the amount of respect should be given to Him. So we do as we please and we trample upon the divine rights and we think we will get away with it. But Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is Inna Allah Laqawiyun Aziz. Verily Almighty Allah is the Almighty and the All-Powerful. So He is the All-Powerful and Almighty, and He can punish us anytime He wants to. But He is Halim as well. He endures and He delays the punishment and chastisement. This human being will repent and come to his senses. But sometimes we do not come to our senses, and then we see we invite the wrath and the punishment, chastisement from Almighty Allah. Allah alone have mercy on us, as He is Arhamur Rahimeen, the most merciful one to show mercy. By Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, there is selection and no election. You can see today in the world when you have elections, how many clowns come into parliament in different parts of the world. Allahu yastafi min al-malaikati rusula. Almighty Allah selects from the angels rusula, His ambassadors. So He chooses this angel, that angel, and there are million, billion, zillion angels. Only Almighty Allah knows, and the greatest angel is the archangel Gabriel, Jibreel alayhi salatu salam, wa ruh, and in the Quran Sharif He is known as the spirit, the leader of all the angels. Wa minan nas, and of humanity, Almighty Allah selected the prophets and messengers, and from them He selected the yatim of Makkah Mukarramah, the orphan of Makkah Mukarramah, Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to be the best for all times, all places, and chose and selected him to be Imamul Anbiya wal Mursaleen, the greatest of all time and the most beloved and most precious for all time, all places. Inna Allah Sami'un Basir, verily Almighty Allah is all hearing, all seeing. Nothing is obscure and hidden from Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Ya'alamu ma bayna aydihim, he alone knows what is the future. When will I die? When will you pass away? What will happen today, tomorrow, next year? Only he knows. Wa ma khalfahum, and whatever is in the past. Our history, our geography, everything he knows. Me and you, we tend to forget so many things of our own life, but he knows everything of the entire universe and creation. Wa ilallahi turja'ul umur, and unto him all the matters and affairs will return to him. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ay iman walo, O you who believe, yetu ashiqana khitab, this is an address filled with love and honor. Almighty Allah is elevating the people with iman, with Islam, with faith and conviction. 89 different places Almighty Allah uses this phrase, but never does Almighty Allah use the term Ya ayyuhal ladhina aslamu, O you Muslims. Why? Iman, that is the faith, the conviction. What makes a person wake up 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and whether he's fasting or to read tahajjud salat or to do some programs or whatever else, that is the iman. I'm speaking to you live, and you are listening to me in Durban and Hammanskraal and in America and wherever else. So remember that the ruh, the soul, the spirit is within us, and everything is functioning with the mercy and grace of Allah. So how the spirit soul is there, and then we can function. The person passed away, the ruh, the soul separated, emanated from the body. So that iman is the motivation, the inspiration. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu rkau, perform the ruku, bow down. Wasjudu, and then you make sajda, prostrate. Ruku and sajda, bowing down and prostrating, is only, solely, exclusively for Almighty Allah, even for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even for anybody else, is not permissible. Therefore, in our funeral prayer, janaza salat, the mayyid, the deceased, is in front, and then behind that is the imam, the leader of the prayer, and then the congregation. There is no ruku, no sajda, to show us true tawheed, monotheism. We bow down only to Almighty Allah. Wa'abudu rabbakum, worship your sustainer, nourisher alone. Waf'alul khayra, and continue doing the good. La'allakum tuflihun, so that you are successful. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith mentioned in Mishkat Sharif and in Mustad Ahmad and various compilations. Fuddilat suratul hajj, that surah hajj, the chapter 22, which comprises 78 verses, and in verse 77 there's a sajda tilawat. A verse we read and then we go straight into sajda and prostrate. So this is the only surah and chapter, Fuddilat suratul hajj, bi anna fiha sajdatain, that there are two sajdas in it. So the first one, all the scholars and jurors agree regarding this one here. Remember that the Shafi'is and the Hanbalis say a person should perform it. The Hanafis and the Malikis say that it is not compulsory for you to do so. But if you want to do it, there's no sin on you to do so. Like now, out of Salat, so I perform it, for example, so there's no problem here with that. So we should understand the academic discussion as well. Let's take you around the world. Now, today is Jumu'ah. We read abundant Durood Sharif, Salawat, Salutation, blessings upon Nabiul Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We read and recite Surah Kahf, Surah Dukhan. So local, national, international news. Today is what? The 26th of Safar 1444, and it is the 23rd of September 2022. So let's turn the clock back 90 years, and we will see on 23rd of September 1932, the regime or the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia came into existence, Al-Mamlakatul Arabiyatu Saudiya, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and there our two holiest cities are there, Makkah Mukarrama, Madina Munawwara. But ma'al asafi shadid, but the truth of the matter is, the government today is run, the de facto leader is not even a Muslim, and we pass the fatwa and verdict, MBS Murtad bin Shaitan, he is out of the fold of Islam, and whoever agrees with his policies and so forth. وَمَنْ يُهِنِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ مُكْرِمٍ. Whosoever Almighty Allah humiliates, there's none to give him honor. See how Almighty Allah has humiliated him. During the king's funeral, chapter number 22 and verse 18, that is where the first sajda is, and this verse is, وَمَنْ يُهِنِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ مُكْرِمٍ. He couldn't go there. They told him, you mustn't come, because you will be an embarrassment to us. You are the murderer of Jamal Khashoggi. You are the murderer of innocent thousand children and people in Yemen. And how many ulama and scholars, if you want the true scholars of Saudi Arabia, they all in jail. Sheikh Saleh Ali Talib, Sheikh Nasser Umar, and Sheikh Salman Ouda, and so many others. Yes, the ulama ud dawla, the scholars for dollars and so forth, who are bootlicking the government, so they will be the one singing their tune and so forth. So we need to know, when they say it's 92 years for the Saudi regime, they count it Islamically and Gregorian calendar, it is 90 years old. Now United Nations, that was the Queen's funeral in Britain, he couldn't go. UK, US, New York, he can't go. Big processions and demonstrations will be there waiting for him, so to save himself. So if you know Saudi politics, let me give you non-Muslims, because even Muslim majority don't know what's going on. So King Abdul Aziz passed away in the early 50s. Thereafter you had his sons. First you had Saud, then you had Faisal, and then you had after that Khalid, then you had Fahd, and after that you had Abdullah, and after him you had Salman, the six, the half a dozen, after their father. So now when Salman passes away and dies, then what happens? So now they cooked it up, and remember that this MBS wants to become king. But in the Ali Saud, in the family of Saud, which is the most powerful family there, then comes Ali Sheikh, if you understand Saudi politics. Remember, they are fragmentation, tension, conflict like you can't believe. And remember, Abdul Aziz brothers, sons are still alive. So Ahmed and them are still there, and their other brothers as well. So they are entitled to becoming king. But remember, he by force has marginalized all of them. So Saudi Arabia is going to face internal strife and might end up in civil war. That's how we look at the situation there. Unless, you must remember, they bring the army from Israel, America, and so forth. So you know how things work there in part of the world. So you should understand that as well. And we got no sympathy for MBS and these type of shaitans and these type of murtads and people who are apostates. From there we take you to Iran. You see, the president of Iran, he was in New York already 3-4 days ago, and he was having big meetings with the leaders, religious leaders and so forth and so on. And he says, yes, we must learn to respect one another, we must cooperate with one another. I speak a very balanced view, remember that. I have huge problems, and all these countries I speak about, I visited them, so we know what's going on. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, I was in Iran in 2013. So what happens is this, that now Iran is going and doing exercise drills and so forth with Russia and China. Well done, Iran, well done. You must build the nuclear. Don't be like this Arab tanpa dictators. But that does not mean you still kuffar. kuffar. She is a kuffar. And all you who are getting money from them and they bought you off, you can't speak one word. Why you don't write against all the things that are going on now in Iran and so forth? Because they're on the payroll. How many organizations in South Africa? They can't speak one word. You must remember that. See, I show you the Sunni, Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We challenge anybody to show us conclusively. I don't say Iran, the whole country. I'm speaking of the capital, Tehran. Till today, 2022, there is not a single proper masjid in Tehran. So the only capital in the world, Muslim country supposed to be, doesn't have a mosque for people like us, the mainstream Muslim. I'm not speaking about some makeshift house and that's not a masjid. That how you have your beautiful Husseiniya and you have all your beautiful Ma'bad and Ma'abid and temples and so forth. So where is for the Sunni world a shame and a disgrace for the Iranian regime? Remember that. How can we forget the apartheid terrorist rogue regime, Nazi regime of Israel? Lapid addresses, remember, every Israeli leader is a war criminal and occupier. And remember that they are the ones who are the occupiers and practicing apartheid more than South African white minority regime had. But if you have got blinkers, what can I do then? I've been 5 times to occupied Palestine, so at least something, we know what's going on there. So he addresses the United Nations and says, this is Lapid and the Prime Minister of the rogue apartheid terrorist regime of Israel. We want peace. We want a two-state solution. But you stole everything almost. You even want, and they already started, Muslims wake up. They're giving them the curriculum and syllabi there to teach in the Palestinian schools, and the whole history of Palestine is almost obliterated. Everything belongs to Israel. West Bank belongs to them. Jerusalem belongs to them. And now the next target is Masjidul Aqsa, the back portion of it where Qubbatul Sakhra is, the Dome of the Rock. And then they want to demolish that and abolish that and then replace it with Haikal-e Suleiman, the Temple of Solomon. These are haramis. Remember, and you Jutla and Jutli, you don't know what is harami. This is the translation. Every one of you who's a settler there, one settler, one bullet will settle many issues. So harami means a B with a capital B. And you go tell that to your biggest officers there. That is what the true Muslims and the true world of justice thinks of you. How can you steal so much of the Palestinians and then come to the world and say, we want peace, you haramis? Think properly. If I'm there, I saw how you treated my father, my mother, and my grandparents. The first opportunity I get, I shoot you dead. So remember that. That is what I'll do. It's a natural response. So whoever injured the 8 or 7 or what Jutlas yesterday in Tel Aviv, we salute them. We make no bones of this. Everyone is a legitimate target there when you support the Israeli regime. So remember, we make no bones of these things here. Then 2 more issues or 3 more issues. Remember, we got some people, South Africa, other parts of the world, who are promoting the Abrahamic Accord, Abrahamic Foundation. Well, our news for them, you are traitors to Islam and the Muslims and the Palestinians. So لِكُلِّ غَائِدِ غَدَّارٍ or لِكُلِّ غَادِرٍ لِوَاءٌ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةَ لَا إِسْتِهِ. On your buttocks, you will have a big flag on the day of Qiyamah, and you are a traitor to Islam and so forth. So think, scholars for dollars, selling the whole deen. So you can see what is happening now. What a shame and disgrace. We expose one by one. And you must remember, we got again the bootlickers. Tomorrow is Heritage Day. For us Muslims, what is our heritage? Our heritage is Quran, Sharif, Sunnah, our great people, scholars, and so forth. What is the apartheid heritage? That the white minority treated us as second-class citizens, third-class. They called us coolies and the K-word and so forth. What is the legacy and the heritage of the ANC? The potholes and the load shedding, the corruption, the crooks that are running the country. That is their heritage. And you tell me we must open the mosque for the people, remember, who are non-Muslims. They will come there with their menses and their short pants and so forth. Is this what you want? So another case of boot licking, remember. You are the same people who closed the mosque, remember that. And now you want to open it for the non-Muslims. Sa'ama tahkumun. Shame on you, disgrace on you. That is what Quran said, Surah 2 verse 114. Lahum fi dunya khizyu walahum fil akhirati adabun azim. For people who close the mosque, there's humiliation, disgrace, and they can't get rid of it. And in the year after, a horrible, terrible punishment.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. Ustaz, listen to this one. There's a brother from Senton. He says, I've been in Tehran. Please double check. There's two masjids that's in our favor, that's our akida. Let's not run them down. Brother from Senton, Ustad.
My brother, they got houses. There's not a masjid. You don't know what is a musalla and what is a masjid. Masjid means it is waqf to Almighty Allah. And remember, no one can demolish it. Nobody can. So please, don't be a bootlicker of the Shias and the Kufar. Shias are 100% Kufar.
I've got Sister Zara. She says, good morning, Mr. Kader. Is court marriages allowed in Islam? Sister Zara, Ustad.
Zahra, if you are Muslim, Z-A-H-R-A-A, it means glittering, shining. So you must spell your name and pronounce it properly. If you're non-Muslim, then we got no problem. My name, you can't say Qadir. So Qadir is only the name of Almighty Allah. The prefix must be used, Abdul Qadir. The slave, AK, shortcut. For you, AK is fine.
Not Muslim.
So not Muslim, fine. So remember, AK will mean the slave of the one who is the one who is able to do anything, everything, and that is Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. In Islam, my sister, we say that when the nikah, the marriage ceremony, is performed, then we will advise the Muslim couple to go and register the marriage. Why? Because then they have no problems drawing up their Islamic will, and they will register it ANC. Nothing to do, remember, with the government and so forth. This is anti-nuptial contract, excluding without the accrual system. That is the advice we give to the Muslims.
Somebody says, can a stolen car be used to transport kids to and from madrasa free of charge? Will the person still be sinful for stealing the car, Ustad?
Of course, yes. We must cut your hand and amputate your hand for stealing people's car. Now you think that you want to do good. You're going to take children to school and madrasa. So in Islam, you stole somebody's car. You admit to it. You confess to it. We must amputate your hand, brother. So that is what Islam teaches us. It's like the people, they won a gambling in a casino or the lotto, tatama chance, tatama million. You know how they say. So now they want that. They say, okay, this to massage their ego. They say, let me build a madrasa. Let me build a masjid. Let me build a huzukana ablution block. All haram dead. No reward. You're making a mockery. We must punish you for that and take all your money away. And you must be punished, my brother. Don't fool yourself that you think you're doing some good deed with stolen goods and stolen cars. So then tomorrow you'll steal another car and then say, now nah, I'll take some old widows to the supermarkets. You see, so that is all your fairy tales, my brother.
I see somebody says, my question to you, Ustad, is why has the ANC and ESCOM messed up our beautiful country, Ustad?
See, I give you local news. I listen to about 10-15 news per day, different. Uh-huh. You know, yeah, whenever in my car, my radio is on. So if you understand politics and economics, then you will understand. I can't understand how these chaps are ministers. They can't even speak English properly. So you must remember these things here. So let me give you some statistics. You see, South Africa has a population of 55 million, give and take, plus minus, this way, that way. So now you have to give them and provide them the facilities. So now there's load shedding. Per day when we have load shedding, you know what's happening in the past 10, 12 days and so forth, stage 6 and stage 5 and what and what and what have you. Per day when we have load shedding, we are losing 3 to 4 billion rand per day. You heard what I said? 3 to 4 billion rand. Go ask the expert economist and they will work it out and tell you. So if you want to recoup that money, what you should do? First of all, you should go to these ministers and deputy ministers and cut their wages. They're collecting 200, 300, 500,000, 1 million per month plus minus per minister and prime minister, the president and so forth. So for what must you have so much? Who is responsible for all this mess? In apartheid, we never ever had load shedding. Everything was functioning. And now you came and you destroyed the whole of South Africa. South African Airways in Sakarat about to die and be buried. Danel in negative, in debit. And you see Eskom finish. And you see that Prasa, our trains. The never mind the train. The railway lines are stolen and so forth.
Sure.
So every department is on the verge of collapse. South Africa is a failed state. Remember that. We love South Africa. I'm going to stay in South Africa. And I don't advise any Muslim to move from South Africa. But we have to speak the truth, ANC, you're a disaster and a disgrace to humanity.
Allahu Akbar, subhanAllah. I've got your grace, and Ustad. He says, but AK, when listening to your show, I want to become Muslim. But then when listening to Sir Jimmy Swaggart, then I want to become a Christian. Both of you claim your religion are right. You give me your version why Islam is the right religion for me. My name is Grayson. Ustad.
My brother Grayson, simple answer I give you. You got your pen and paper ready? Or you recording it? Record it, my brother. You see, there was one elder of ours. I used to visit him. I was in Newcastle for 20 years. Wonderful. We here now in Lanesha, 22 years. All this the mercy and grace of Allah. So when I used to go to Durban, then my sister, my wife, my auntie, they want to go shopping. It doesn't interest me, all these things, you know. So I used to go sit by him, Sheikh Ahmed Didat, there in his old place. You go upstairs there, you know. And he used to think that I speak Gujarati. So he tell me, MTU. I just used to laugh and smile, you know. So all that is stories. So now you just go and Google it. You will find it on Google. Or you go to IPCI Center there in Durban and they'll give it to you free of charge, my brother. Didat's debate with Swaggart. Is we say Swaggart, but you know Didat has his own style. He say Jimmy Swaggart. So what he told Swaggart, you read from the Bible. So which passage must you read? Now write it down, my brother Grayson. So read the two adulterous sisters in Ezekiel. So Ezekiel is your heading, and then the subheading is the two adulterous sisters. Read it now, and then I will give you $100 or $50 or whatever. Didat had his dollars ready in his pocket. So the way Swaggart read it, he felt ashamed, you see. So what happens that, just to fill you in, Grayson, you from Durban, right? Just go to Sunday Tribune website and Google it and so forth. This happened in the 70s, 80s. I still got it somewhere in my archives. So one day, Mr. Ahmed Didat, Allah Ta'ala grant him Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la. He did great work for us Muslims against the Christians. So what he did, he took that same chapter, that is Ezekiel, the two adulterous sisters, the subchapter. He removed all the numbers and he sent it to the census board, yea, in South Africa, under apartheid. And there were two dominees, two predikant, two priests. And he asked them, what you say about this? They said it's pornography. So he went to Sunday Tribune and he told them that, see, South African Census Board says that the Bible is pornography. So what do you say now? And to cap it all, there were two priests and two dominees, they used to call them in those days. So you got your answer, my brother, that go and read, go and listen to that debate between Didat and Swaggart and see how ashamed he was and disgraced. And after that, what happened? Swaggart was thrown to the scraps of history. He was caught with a prostitute and all that. And then, as you say, dispatched to the hellfire, good riddance. So that is your answer, my brother Grayson. I leave the ball in your court.
I see Grayson says first time he's listening to this, what you are saying, Ustad.
We don't speak from our pocket. Whatever you ask, manidda ashe and falidda. Anything you ask. We will give you proof. We don't talk from our pocket, my brother. Go and go there to IPCI. You know where it is in Durban. Or just Google it, Didat in Swaggart, and you will see Mr. Didat giving him the $50 or $100. And the way that guy was reading the passage, the two adulterous sisters from Ezekiel, you will think he was taking part in the Comrades Marathon.
Ustad, somebody says, sir, Putin is Putin. Putin or Putin. Modi is moderate and Trump is Trumping. Let's face the facts. None of them have a God in their lives. Can we call them atheists? Francois, Ustad.
No, remember that Putin is 100% Christian. But inshallah, on his desk, he's got Quran translation. On his desk, he's got Bukhari, our most authentic teaching, book and compilation regarding the teaching, preaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We make dua and we beg Almighty Allah, all these leaders, Allah ta'ala give them Islam. But to say Putin is an atheist, that's wrong. He is a Christian at the moment, but we hope and we support Putin. Not that he's a good guy. Putin is a harami, remember that. But you need one harami to sort out all these other haramis, whether it's America or whether it is Europe, who are all supporting the rogue. Whatever you say about Putin, remember Israel has committed that crime already in the past 70 years and more. No one can deny that. Unless you're a real idiot, you must go to the psychiatrist, you understand? So therefore we say Putin. Trump said yesterday we're on the verge of World War III. And they're all shaking because they know Putin got nothing to lose. Putin is one aim. He's not going to tell you, but I'm telling you. You came and you destroyed the Soviet Union. You made us lose day in Afghanistan. So I'm going to make sure that I will not leave you as United States of America. I will make you divided States of America. I will not leave you united as the European Union. I will make you as the European disunion, that will fragment all of you. And it's already happening. So we support him and unleash it. We got no problem. World War One, who did all the problem? The whiteies. World War II, who did all the problem? The whiteies. It got nothing to do with Islam and Muslim. World War III, if it comes again, whiteies. So you must remember, it got nothing to do with us. So if Putin hits the hell out of America or Europe or Israel, we will say Amin. We will say Alhamdulillah. You must remember that. Then that will be the rise of Islam, inshallah.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. I see Haji Abu Yusuf is enjoying you, Ustad. If you want Muslims to remain in South Africa, Mufti Sab, should we not participate and shape the political future, Ustad?
Show me one thing that you did positive. You, the Muslims, the bootlickers, show me one thing you did. You closed the masjid. Now Heritage Day, you say open the masjid for the non-Muslims. You are the one that tell people to vote for ANC. What ANC did good? Less than 30 years, they finished the whole country up. That's what they did. Unless you're an idiot, then it's a different thing.
Somebody says, Mufti Sahab, AK Turkish president, he spoke about Islamophobia, that he will force European countries stop. Do you think that they will do that, Ustad?
Remember, Tayyip Erdogan plays a double game all the time. He is one of the better leaders, but he's got a lot of problems himself. Now he wants to cut deals with Israel and visit Israel himself. Yesterday he told the European Union, you go fly a kite. Yesterday, meaning day for yesterday or so. You don't come and tell me that who we must join. We will join Russia, we will join China, whoever. So he has a very strategic place, remember, that Europe needs him, America needs him, Israel wants him on his side. So he's playing his cards, but they are all politicians, end of the day. So remember that nobody can stop anybody, but he was trying to just maneuver. Remember, politicians, their religion is expediency. They will come here in South Africa, tell the Muslims, oh, you know how good you are. Then nigalomali. You see, then they'll go, give us the money. Then they'll go to the jutlas and tell them, you know how good you are. Uh-huh. Then give us your votes and all these things there. Then they'll go to the Christians and go to church also and tell them we're participating with you because they know many people are Christians. So end of the day, it's all about power and all about the vote story and so forth. Okay, my time is exhausted. So 8:30 to 9, remember, will be Brother Salman Khan with Moaz Ahid, and inshallah, quarter past 11:15, South African time, the khutbah from Makkah by Sheikh Salih Humaid, and thereafter the translation and dua, and my Jummah today is in Jami Masjid. Quickly.